Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Poll finds majority of Texans support increased spending on health care. As the Texas legislator gets to work in Austin this session, Texans say reducing health care costs, addressing maternal health, and increasing funding for mental health programs should be their top health care priorities, a press release from the Episcopal Health Foundation stated. Those are just some of the results of a new statewide Episcopal Health Foundation poll on state health policy in Texas. EHF's annual tracking survey finds that lowering various costs associated with health care ranked as a top priority for a majority of Texans. Researchers found more than two-thirds of Texans, 67%, say reducing health-related costs, increasing access to affordable health insurance, or lowering prescription prices should be a top health care priority for the state. Year after year, Texans tell us that they're missing out on preventative checkups, cancer screenings, and getting help to maintain chronic conditions like diabetes and high blood pressure, all because of cost. Dr. Ann Barnes, EHF's president and CEO, stated in the press release, "Lack of access to affordable care has direct and indirect impact on health outcomes, and these numbers show Texans are looking to state leaders for help." EHF's poll shows that Texans believe reducing the number of women who die from causes related to pregnancy and childbirth should also be a top health care priority for the state. 6 to 10 Texans, or 60%, said addressing maternal mortality should be the top health care concern. Researchers also found that around half of Texans, or 49%, say increased access to family planning and contraceptive services should be a prime health care priority for lawmakers. More than half of Texans surveyed, 53%, say increased funding for mental health programs should be the state's most pressing health care problem. Researchers discovered that more than a quarter of Texans, 27%, say they or someone in their household has had problems getting mental health care because of cost. That's the highest percentage reported in the five-year history of EHF's poll. Uninsured people, 41%, low-income families, 36%, and young adults, 31%, were more likely to say they had difficulty getting mental health care because they couldn't afford it. By and large, most communities lack an adequate supply of mental health professionals and services to meet the need for care, Barnes stated in the press release. After COVID-19, there's rising demand for mental health services. A public health approach to implementing mental health care and creating prevention strategies can help Texas weather upheaval and uncertainty when the next crisis comes. When asked about issues that should receive more funding by the state legislator, almost two-thirds of Texans, or 63%, say lawmakers should increase spending for health care programs. That's the highest percentage in 5 years of EHF's polling. Only public education, 74%, ranked higher on the list of issues that Texans say should get increased state funding. Researchers found that a large majority of Texans, 72%, support Medicaid expansion to provide health insurance to potentially 1 million plus low-income Texans who are uninsured. In addition, more than two-thirds, or 65%, say the state government is not doing enough to make sure low-income adults get the health care they need. Lotto Texas jackpot stands as largest on continent. Texas lottery players have the opportunity to play for North America's largest jackpot and the second largest jackpot around the world, a press release stated. With an out-of-state player winning Monday night's Powerball jackpot, and no jackpot winners in Monday's night Lotto Texas drawing, the jackpot for today's Lotto Texas drawing rolled to an estimated $39.5 million before Tuesday's Mega Millions drawing, which was advertising a jackpot worth an estimated $31 million. The Lotto Texas jackpot for today's drawing offers estimated cash value of $23.9 million. It's a thrilling time for our players as the Lotto Texas jackpot has emerged as the largest lottery prize available on the continent, which can only be won by a Texas lottery player, Gary Grief, executive director of the Texas Lottery, said in a press release. We're hoping that at least one player wins the biggest jackpot the game has seen in more than 2 years, and I'm looking forward to congratulating the first Lotto Texas jackpot winner of 2023. And anticipation continues to grow during this jackpot run. We want to remind our players to play responsibly. It only takes one ticket to win. Today's drawing will be the 62nd in the current Lotto Texas jackpot run since starting as an estimated annuitized $5 million for the September 19th drawing. This is the largest Lotto Texas jackpot up for grabs since the September 30, 2020 drawing, when it reached an estimated $47 million, which was claimed by a Seguin resident who purchased the winning ticket at a Pick and Pack 10 in Seguin. In 2022, there were six Lotto Texas jackpot winners. The game's most recent jackpot winner was a Katy resident that claimed a jackpot prize of $19 million for the drawing held on September the 17th, 2022. The largest Lotto Texas jackpot in game history was advertised $145 million prize for the June 19th, 2004 drawing, which was sold in El Paso and claimed by VOM Enterprises Limited. Lotto Texas is played by picking six numbers from 1 to 54 and offers multi-million dollar jackpots. Drawings are held every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday at 10:12 p.m. For $1 more per play, a player can select an extra add-on feature for a chance to win up to $10,000 more on non-jackpot prizes. Local CMN champion to be recognized at next ECHD board meeting. Every year, local Children's Miracle Network hospitals identify a champion to serve as the face of children treated at their local hospital, a press release from the Medical Center Hospital detailed. This year, Children's Miracle Network at the Medical Center Health System is proud to introduce the newest CMN champion, Lorelei Auld. The now 9-year-old was born 4 months premature in August of 2013 and needed immediate medical attention after her birth. She was septic, had severe bleeding in the brain, struggled to breathe on her own, and experienced a low heart rate. Because of the funds and donations made by CMN, Auld was able to be treated in a giraffe bed, which regulated her body temperature and allowed the staff to treat her without moving and putting stress on her frail body. Lorelei's mother, Carla Wilson, says it was a blessing from God that Auld was born at a Children's Miracle Network hospital like MCH. Auld was eventually transferred to another CMN hospital for neurosurgery and to complete her recovery and eventually be sent home. About a year later, she was readmitted to the pediatric unit at MCH for RSV and pneumonia, where she received top care and was eventually released. Today, Auld is a happy and healthy 9-year-old who loves to sing and dance and spread joy wherever she goes. She's excited to share her story with her local community in hopes of helping other premature babies and their families. Auld and her mother will be recognized by the Ector County Hospital District Board of Directors at 5:30 p.m. Thursday at their regularly scheduled board meeting. Midland Health offers community support groups. Midland Health announced it's offering a free support group for all community members who are interested in learning about diabetic and cardiovascular health. The support groups are COACH, Community Outreach and Cardiovascular Health, and CODE, Community Outreach for Diabetes Education. This free community support group will meet every second Monday of every month throughout the school year from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. at First Baptist Church, located at 2104 West Louisiana Avenue. COACH is a group of people with cardiovascular disease sharing common experiences or concerns who provide each other with encouragement, comfort, and advice. CODE is a group of people with diabetes sharing common experiences or concerns who provide each other with encouragement, comfort, and advice.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, February 4, 2023. Viewpoints. Letters. Hope there is middle ground on Hogan Park. I have the good fortune of moving to Midland to be with my kids and grandkids in the last 6 months. I moved here not for an oil field job, but because I wanted to be involved and not just a spectator from afar. My family moved from Tulsa, where we went through a similar situation with the Gathering Place Park, one of the largest private public city parks in the U.S. Yes, it was inconvenient, but the investment in itself was a wholehearted buy-in from local and nationwide corporations, has now a legacy that will improve all of Tulsa's quality of life. It is a shame that more wasn't done to educate the council here in Midland on the long-term benefits that they ignored or didn't give any significance. In Tulsa, everyone was aware of what was happening and what we would get in return for the inconvenience. I hope that this project is not discarded, but that both sides get together to figure out a middle ground and present Midland a park that would benefit Midland residents as well as those that come to town to enjoy the park. Let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Kenneth D. Owens III. Letters Policy. There is a 350-word limit. Candidate letters have a 200-word limit. Letters must be submitted to sdoreen@hearstmp.com. Please note the change in address. Deadline is noon Thursdays for the following Sunday. Reporter Telegram policy limits individuals to one letter in a 30-day period. Letter writer should include phone number and address. Failure to do so could delay letter's publication.
Dear Dr. Roach, is Addison's hereditary? My dad's brother and sister both had it, and I've wondered if I am susceptible. And Dr. Roach's answer is, Addison's disease is one of the causes of insufficiency of the adrenal gland. The most common cause of adrenal insufficiency is when people have been taking high doses of prednisone or a similar type of steroid medicine. Over time, the adrenal gland becomes less able to respond to stress, which forces the gland to make high doses of the body's indigenous steroid, cortisone. Addison's disease is when the gland itself is unable to make adequate cortisone under stress, and causes can include damage to the gland by tuberculosis, hemorrhage, drugs, cancer, or an autoimmune process. It's the last condition, autoimmune adrenal insufficiency, that has a family predisposition and accounts for about 80% of cases of Addison's disease now. About one-third of people with autoimmune Addison's have an affected family member, but the risk of family involvement is more common when Addison's is part of a condition called polyglandular autoimmune syndrome, type 1 or 2. With all of that in mind, first-degree relatives of people with autoimmune Addison's, which you are not, your aunt and uncle are your second-degree relatives, as opposed to your parents, siblings, and children who are first-degree relatives, have at most a 10% risk of developing autoimmune Addison's disease.
Dear Abby, revealing of newborn's name triggers emotional reaction. Dear Abby, I recently gave birth to our second child, a girl, Shortly afterward, my husband called his mother. She lives in a different state, hours away, and visits only once a year. When he told her the happy news and our little girl's name, which we had kept a secret, she became very upset. It seems the name we had chosen, unbeknownst to us, was that of her husband's mistress from years ago. For days afterward, she would call my husband crying and pleading with him to change our baby's name, telling him he should never have kept it a secret. She told him she would never speak that name. A week later, we received a generous gift of baby clothes in the mail from her. At this point, she hasn't checked in with me, the one who gave birth. She refuses to acknowledge our baby's name and will refer to her only as little one. I don't know how to thank her for her generous gift, as normally I would just call her, but it's clear she doesn't want to hear from me. Could you please advise how we move forward? Wrong name in Pennsylvania. Dear Wrong Name, it was unfortunate that this name you and your husband, I presume, chose for your daughter was the same as the woman your father-in-law cheated with. If your mother-in-law's solution to the problem is to refer to her granddaughter as little one, accept it. It seems very loving, actually. And when you write her a lovely thank you note for her generous gift, sign it with love from your name and little one, which I think is a sweet nickname. Dear Abby, I am a happily married gay man in my 50s. About a year ago, I was contacted on Facebook Messenger by a man in another state, and we have developed what I consider a casual friendship. My new friend has cerebral palsy and is in a wheelchair. He lives with family and requires total care for his mobility and self-care. He has normal cognition, from what I can tell. I can only imagine how difficult it would be to develop friendships and relationships with a severe disability. I have an active social life and chat here and there with him nearly every day, but I know I'm a much bigger part of his life than he is of mine. He refers to me as his best friend and says he needs his time with me. He doesn't harass me and is always respectful. He is gay but closeted, and he knows I'm married. It is apparent that he is very lonely. I don't want to lead him on, but I know this relationship is very unbalanced. Is it okay for me to keep casually texting, saying hello, and asking about his day? I feel like I'm his only friend. Uncertain in Tennessee. Dear Uncertain, it would be a kindness to continue casually texting, saying hello, and asking this extremely isolated individual about his day. But while you are at it, it would also be a kindness to encourage him to open his world and widen his circle of friends by going on the internet and talking to people with similar interests.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.